The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Thursday, the 10th day of December 2020. We always have a good time. We always seek to amaze and enlighten each other. We're going to make some news on today's program. Some interesting things are promised to happen. 1 hour from now, we welcome the Drew Springer half of the Drew Springer Shelley Luther runoff. That's been increasingly interesting to follow, so we'll take a look at that. And in about 60 seconds, Attorney General Ken Paxton is here for the latest on the Texas challenge to the election results, suing Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia. What are the prospects of success there? How many states have joined us? We're going to dive in for the latest with Attorney General Ken Paxton. So let's take care of this first and foremost. Lord, we thank you for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. In times of strife and uncertainty, we turn to you to energize those who seek truth, both here on earth and the ultimate truth of your word from heaven. We ask for wisdom and goodwill in navigating our differences. Fill us with the energy to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives in the virus era. We pray for more vaccine success, more health, more wisdom. Let us lift up those whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. Let us work together to change what should be changed in our nation and the world, but to resist people who would opportunistically sweep away our history and our culture in the process. Remind us, Almighty God, that in the most challenging of times, you are always here to unite us, to follow your guidance, to treat each other as we would like to be treated. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So the story since the election, which now itself seems like several months ago, has been, was the election free and fair? Was it clean? Was it reliable? Those who feel that that answer is no. Obviously, there's a political wish for a Trump second term. I wish we were going to get one. I hope we can get one. I'd like for it not to begin in 2025, ideally, but now. But beyond any political or partisan wish, there is an American interest. There is a societal interest. There is a constitutional interest in making sure that when we hold elections, that they are not tainted forever by the clouds of fraud and malfeasance and unconstitutional breaches of usual procedure. So as effort after effort after effort has played out since the election, a lot of courtrooms saw a lot of efforts to get states to flip or get judges to say, hey, that state result was wrong. That hasn't happened so far. What may now happen, the perhaps remaining sliver of hope, is that as the electors prepare to meet on the 14th, are those electors properly charged? Are they properly informed by a tainted result in many states? This was the assertion of a suit filed by the state of Texas that goes against other states, so it instantly goes right to the Supreme Court. And the gentleman behind that is Attorney General Ken Paxton. Welcome, sir. How are you this Thursday morning?
Just a quiet, you know, what is it, Thursday morning?
I know, so, yeah, just kind of sleepy times, not much going on. Let's go chronologically. Where did the idea arise that what we needed to do, a state that seems to have gotten a clean result, a state that seems to have gotten a reliable result, that we are ill-served by these four defendant states where that was not the case?
So that idea actually started arising 6, 7, 8 months ago. We defended and fought, I think it was 12 winning lawsuits in federal court, in state court, in different counties, all over the state, related to our election laws. And we defended every one of them from mail-in ballot. You know, we had Harris County and Travis County, and we were ordered, they were, you know, ordered to be able to release all these mail-in ballots, millions of them. And, you know, signature verification, which is really important if you're going to even do mail-in ballots, was told by one federal judge to be unconstitutional. We fought all of this off, and we stuck with our state law. And I was thinking the whole time, had we lost that, we would have ended up in the same situation as Georgia and Wisconsin. However, we won those losses. We protected our vote. But then what good is that if other states don't follow their laws? They don't follow their mail-in ballot laws. They don't follow their signature verification laws. My voters are still disenfranchised.
When the time came to assemble the language for this, the logic for this, and it's funny because I just want to do a favor to any, whatever your politics, whatever your level of plugging into to current events, a lot of people are saying, I just don't get this. I don't understand what the assertions are. It was not my favorite John Cornyn quote yesterday when he said, I struggle to understand the legal theory behind this. So let's help the senator and anybody else who might be one. You can agree or disagree, but let's help everybody understand what this is about. Attorney General Paxton, it begins with certain officials in these defendant states presenting the COVID pandemic as the basis for ignoring a lot of state election laws.
Yeah, and you've hit it exactly right. So they ignored all of these laws that are set up by the state legislature. And per the Constitution, those state legislators are responsible for setting those laws that elect federal candidates. Otherwise, you end up with huge problems in a state where different people voting are treated differently. You have equal protection issues and other fairness issues. And so under the Constitution, our argument is they have to all be treated the same, and they have to be treated pursuant to state law, which covers everybody, instead of individual officials all over, you know, Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or whatever state saying, no, we're going to treat you differently. We're going to let more mail-in ballots here. In this county, you don't really have to have signature verification. We don't have to know if you're really there. We're going to throw these ballots. You know, you can't have that and have a legitimate election under the Constitution.
So if things had been normal, and I know nothing is normal, but the law needs to remain, needs to adhere to its norms, even when things are going crazy. There are tons of ballots that were counted that under ordinary circumstances, legal circumstances, that the rule of law would not have ordinarily counted, correct?
That's exactly right. I mean, look at Pennsylvania. 4 years ago, they had 233 mail-in ballots, 233,000, and this time it was 2.5 million. And it was decided by election officials in certain counties. They weren't not only were we opened up to more fraud because we had 10 times more mail-in ballots, but now we're not even going to verify that those are the right people voting with signature verification. So it's, we have no way. And then they, of course, separate the envelope that's signed from the ballot. So you can't even go back and check whether this was a, you know, fraudulent vote.
Attorney General Ken Paxton with us. I heard yesterday the big, it was even a hashtag at one point, 17 states having joined us. Is that still the figure? Or did we pick anybody else up overnight?
I think that's the right number, but things are changing. And I think the president has now intervened as a candidate in our lawsuit. And I think you'll see some other things happen today that are quite unusual. First of all, it's pretty unusual to have four states sued by one, but I think you might end up having more states suing. So it's, I think, of unprecedented in the history of our country.
We're dealing with a whole lot of things that are unprecedented in the history of our country. So this is what you get when there is an election result that is this tainted, this dubious. So let's help everybody out with what the goal is here. What does winning look like? What do you want the Supreme Court to say?
So we want, I want whoever was elected to be elected. So, but the problem is now there's no way to go back and check these 2.5 million ballots in Pennsylvania or check the ballots in Wisconsin. So we're saying, look, we can't fix that. The genie's out of the bottle. That's what we protected in Texas. We left the genie in the bottle so we could know what the results were and we can go back and verify them. What we're asking for is, hey, since that can't happen, let's go back to what, you know, many states did at the beginning of our country, which was they let the state legislature cast the ballot to put their electors in place to decide what candidate they want. That's what we're asking the Supreme Court to do, because we don't really know of any other remedy that's that quick, that efficient, and also is representative of the people of that state.
So the imagery arises of state legislatures, and I believe Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, all, even though Michigan has a Democrat governor, all four of them have Republican legislatures. They would be empowered to send what? A competing slate of electors on December 14th?
Yeah, and they would be the electors as if the court grants the relief that we're seeking.
So they and now would we have now we get into mind reading and politics, none of which is your sphere. But I'm just going to ask it how this might go. Would those legislatures be able to assure that the slate of electors that they sent would flip their states to Trump, or would that still be a wild card?
That would still be a wild card. You know, they're elected by their voters. They would have to determine what they thought was best for their state. So, yeah, it could go either way.
So what is the timeline? The electors are slated to vote in 4 days. Do we have to have the Supreme Court smile on this by then?
So we have to have the Supreme Court act in some way, I think. Otherwise, there would have to be another remedy, which is undo what the electors have already done. So preferably, you know, the Supreme Court required an answer by today, I think at 3 o'clock, by the defendant states. So we're going to get their answer. Hopefully, the court will schedule a hearing before that date and hear our case. And they don't have to. Here's the thing. I think the jurisprudence is wrong. I think the Supreme Court has to hear cases between states. Otherwise, we have no way to go with our you know, issues, or we have no way to redress harm.
You know, this is important because the Supreme Court takes very few. A million cases come over the transom. They can only have time, as a practical matter, to take some of them. And usually these are things called writs of certiorari, where your case is, where you ask the Supreme Court, please take my case, and they either say yes or they say no. The other day, they said no to the Pennsylvania challenge. Did that strike you as odd as well? Because no matter how one feels about politics or how one feels about Pennsylvania, it seems like kind of an objective fact that Governor Wolf and the state courts did an end run around the legislature and changed Pennsylvania election law.
Yeah, I was very disappointed in that. But this is really different than that, because that, at least, you those plaintiffs had the opportunity to go before a judge, whether they got a fair treatment or not. They at least got to argue their case. On a state against state case, if the Supreme Court says no, we have nowhere to go. Like, we've never got to say, hey, we were harmed. So in my opinion, I think the constitutional law really is, they have to hear our case, but they've adopted this rule that they can hear whatever case they want for any reason at all. So I normally, with their certiorari, obviously they can only hear so many cases, but on a state versus state, they should have to hear our case because we have nowhere else to go to redress the harm.
Attorney General Ken Paxton is here. So you've already talked about how rare, how literally unique a lot of this is. It's never happened before. What about the general notion of states suing other states for anything? The mechanics you've described, where if state A sues state B, obviously you can't have home cooking in either state, so it tends to go to the Supreme Court. How often does that happen on any issue?
It doesn't happen very often. I mean, it's in our history. I think it's happened under 100 times. I think it's been somewhere in the 60s. So that the court has actually heard state-on-state cases. So, like, we have one right now. We just argued in October over water rights between Texas and New Mexico. We had another case that we sued Delaware and over certain types of law. So it happens. We happen to have been involved in more than the normal state, but it's not very common.
And sometimes it's matters that are big. Sometimes it's matters that are small. It doesn't get any bigger than this, the validity of an American election. And so, you know, we're hopeful that the Supreme Court says at least let's say the Supreme Court tomorrow, day after, says, OK, we're going to hear this. Who argues it?
Well, that's a good question. We are working on that right now. So that is a process question. This all happened very fast for us, too. I mean, we filed this case, what, 2 nights ago? At 11:56 on the deadline, so we're scrambling to get everything together quickly, because this is not a normal timing case. It's all happening really fast.
Well, just as an observer, as someone who cares, you're an able steward of this. I also understand Ted Cruz is waiting by the phone. I don't know. So I think he made himself available for the other one. So it looks like we'll be well staffed at that position. And our final a couple of minutes here with State Attorney General Ken Paxton, so that, again, anybody having a tough time grasping this, the Constitution sets up the way that the president is elected. There are people who are saying, oh, these rogue states are trying to reverse the will of the people. Isn't the point that the will of the people was not properly divined by this weird rule-changing election atmosphere?
That is exactly right. You cannot have elections in states where each county election official gets to say, hey, I'm just going to look at state law and change it, because then everybody in the state's treated differently. And we have no credible way to know if those elections were done correctly.
Last thing, this is, somebody asked me this yesterday. Let's take Michigan. Let's say that the Supreme Court says, okay, we're going to allow states, and that would be state legislatures, to send a slate of electors through that constitutional avenue, since the vote count was tainted. And the Michigan legislature, which is a Republican legislature, impanels that group of electors. Can Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer veto it?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure the legislature has complete control over that decision.
I looked at a couple of articles yesterday that seemed to say the same. This is not just a law. This is not a change in a speed limit. This is not a procedural matter. This is something that the Constitution specifically places in the hands of legislators, with no state judges, local officials, or even governors able to thwart it. So, all right, let's see if that happens. Let's talk again soon, no matter how it goes. Appreciate it very, very much, sir. Thanks. Best to you, Angela, and the family, and Merry Christmas. And thanks for helping us kick off the show.
Hey, you too. This is important, not for this election, but it's really important for the future of our elections going forward.
And it's important not just for people that, you know, that wanted the Trump win. I mean, and everybody says, oh, everything's political. This is beyond anyone's individual political wish. We should all want elections that are clean and stable and fair. Ken, thank you. Appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, have a great day.
I will. That is State Attorney General Ken Paxton. All righty, 866-660-5759. A thought or two from you. Room for that before we hit the bottom of the hour news. And then we go to Georgia. Let's see. I've got there are two classic records we're going to do for today and tomorrow. Which one? We've had Georgia-themed music for Mike's shows from Georgia, and we'll check in with him in just a few minutes as well. Checking in with you now, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
When you kissed me by the mistletoe above, we stood there kissing by the mistletoe.
Aretha.
Tingle, tingle.
Away we go, jingle, jingle, to your calls. We're in Garland. John, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Thursday. How are you?
Good morning, and back to you, Mark. Love
Thanks.
Your program
Thank
and all you do.
Appreciate it.
I know that you are a big advocate of start with a prayer. I love it, and I appreciate that.
Thanks.
I love your vocalness. I'm thinking that the 14th is a huge day for us with the Electoral College casting of the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on sponsoring maybe some type of national day of prayer. I have reached out personally to Mr. Robert Jeffers, to Lou Dobbs, those that have a large national voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering about you, about Hannity, you know, Gallagher. If that could be orchestrated quickly and just get the word out, because, you know.
I know. I have a feeling that what you describe will happen organically. I have a feeling that without any of us calling each other or anybody holding a Zoom meeting, that in many of the outposts that you've described, there will be a lot of guidance toward that day on December 14th to let people of good conscience, to let people of patriotic fervor, to let people with the courage of their convictions bring to a constitutional process a vote that will yield a legally and constitutionally honorable result. which we do not currently have. And all I've got is this one little show of mine, but you bet that will be my wish. And as we just talked about with Attorney General Paxton, not just for Texas and the challenge that we have offered, not just for Republicans, not just for Trump fans, it is bad for the country to have elections where half of the country feels like it got screwed, not just because, you know, their guy lost, but because the process was turned on its ear by the breaking of rules, the intentional breaking of rules. John, thank you. I will follow that that lead, that guide, that suggestion, not just on December 14th, but every day. All righty, 7:32 into the newsroom with Gordon, and then let's go to Georgia, see what's going on with our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher. Here's the newsroom.
A rainy night in Georgia.
My mom loved this record, loved it. I was about 12 when it came out. The great Brooke Benton.
It seems like it's raining all over the world.
Oh, my God. It does seem like it's raining all over the world. It's raining crazy all over the world, Mike. But you are there bringing sanity and talk shows and wisdom to the Peach State. How did yesterday go and what's on tap today?
Well, I was going to just throw it right back at you, the sanity that you presented with your interview with the AG, which I sat in the parking lot here on Peachtree. By the way, have you ever driven up and down Peachtree in Atlanta?
I have. I've been to Atlanta, you know, half a dozen times. It's a beautiful city. I love it. And
I think all the lanes are too narrow on Peachtree. Everything is like all the cars, it's like six lanes.
Okay.
And
here's my first question. Did they carve it up for those infernal bike lanes?
No. Oh, no, no. This is Atlanta. No.
Okay.
This is Georgia. No, they don't do things like that here.
They
have normal people.
Streets are for cars in Georgia.
Yeah, that's right.
I love bicycles and bicyclists, and God bless all y'all. But it makes me a little crazy.
There's no bike lanes. There's no pedestrian malls.
We don't got no stinking bike lanes.
No. But it's kind of funny because it seems to be narrow. Anyway, I'm listening. I'm in the parking lot of the parking garage here at the radio station, listening to you on the app. And just riveted by, and it dawned on me, and I want to bounce this off of you. First of all, two things. I need to formally ask permission.
Yes.
I would love to play your interview with Ken Paxton on the Mike Gallagher Show today. May I have your permission,
I
sir?
Bequeath any show content to you at any given, whether it is this, Trump went down to Georgia, my salute to Charlie Daniels, or any other crazy moment or moment of substance that we have. Let's see how this works out.
Come on, one more
Trump
time.
Trump went down to
Come
Georgia. On, he was looking to stop the steal. He was in a bind. He was not behind. At least that's how he feels. He came down to the Peach State with passions running hot, held a big old rally and said, folks, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fighter to the end. And if you stand and fight with me, I'll be sworn in again. Now, Stacey Abrams may have this political machine, but everybody knows that this election was not clean. The folks said, we're all with you. We know it's no sin, because we all know as presidents go, you're the best that's ever been. Donnie, fire up all the folks and get them to fight hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia and the Senate holds the cards. If Leffler and Perdue can win, the state will be made whole. And if Trump wins, the nation saves its soul.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Get old.
Every time I hear that, I regret it more. I'm kidding. Everybody loves it. I live to serve.
Oh, and don't forget, you can text the keyword devil to 1-800-655-MIKE, and we'll send it back to you on an MP3 file. You know, we need to play that every bit as much as we need to play.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
That's become part of the lexicon.
Yeah, man.
Chuck Schumer saying that. And AOC, I'm gonna add her drop. I needed to tell the team. For today's show, AOC saying, if we take Georgia, we don't need to negotiate. And that's exactly, honest to goodness,
she said that's where they are. And I'll tell you, whether it's AOC or other members of the squad or other members of the hard left wing of the party, that is precisely their point of view, is that we're not about reaching across the aisle or achieving common ground. And okay, ready for the complete grade A consistency check? I don't want to say we would necessarily do the same thing, but if we get a Trump second term and a Republican Senate and a Republican House, and you got a call, and in fact you go say, yeah, Mike, here I am.
Yeah, Mike, I just want you to, you know, if we get the power, if we get Trump win now or even 2024 or whatever, and we got the we get rid of Nancy Pelosi and we got the House and we got a Republican Senate, I ain't in the mood to compromise. We won all three, and doggone it, we're going to do what we're going
to
do.
If a call said that to you, you'd love it. So, you know, it is not turnabout fair play. I actually don't blame her for that view, but I want to fight against that coming to pass. Does that make sense?
We don't think that way. I mean, honest to goodness.
I do.
You don't want to compromise with people?
Hell no. I'm not interested in common ground with the left. I'm interested in defeating the left.
I didn't say common ground. I said compromise in a legislative process, which is the only way that things get done.
Ooh, I don't
know. Come on, Mark. We can't be like them.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't even dawn on us to say if we win, we don't have to compromise with the Democrats.
This is a fascinating.
Totally disagree with that.
Okay, but maybe you don't, because maybe I'm not voicing myself well. My first choice is to fight for conservatism in every way and to attempt to bring about its complete success by defeating Democrats, by beating the left, by having our ideas simply win over their ideas. That is my first choice every day. Now, if it looks like that's not going to happen because of either, filibuster or, don't have the House or the Senate or, et cetera, et cetera. If it looks like compromise is our best and only way to achieve any progress, I'll take it. But it'll always be my second choice. Is that better?
I guess. I mean, I know what you're saying. There's nothing you said in that core statement that I disagree with, mm-hmm. but I know we have a legislative process. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like the conversation about censorship online. It struck me as listening to you and Ken Paxton this morning. That conversation, whether you realize this or not, will be, if it shows up anywhere on YouTube, banned. It will be taken down.
Oh, man.
Now, Mark,
tell everybody why. You focused on one thing I'm going to totally talk about today. Tell everybody why. What happens?
It's real simple.
Go ahead.
They're taking down any conversation about the potential of a fraudulent, rigged election. They're removing that. The big tech giants are literally deplatforming and taking any references to those down. YouTube is about to have a massive purge. Yesterday, Sebastian Gorka's interview with Mo Brooks, a congressman from Atlanta, Alabama, was removed from YouTube. They took it down. They are censoring any conversation like the one you had with Ken Paxton.
That's it.
They're saying that's deceptive.
Yes.
They're saying that's misinformation. They're hiding behind that. Now, this is what I mean about the difference between our side and their side. It wouldn't dawn on us, if we were running things, to take down or censor other views.
No, we'll argue against them.
Talk.
We'll bring our logic and put it up against their logic and let it play in the marketplace of ideas.
This is shameful. And to think that I was thinking about this. You're such a – and I'm not just trying to blow smoke in your ear. You're a smart guy. Ken Paxton's a smart guy. There's a lot of smart people, millions of us, who know that this election stunk. The tech overlords and the media won't even let us say it.
And what does that
say? We're not even allowed to say it, Mark.
And what does that say? Because whether it is YouTube censoring clips that say that, Facebook attaching and Twitter attaching those cute, snarky little exclamation points, this claim has been disputed by blah, 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 blah. And then all of these people, whether it's rhinos or squishes or leftists or whoever, that they're all welcome to argue with the Texas lawsuit or the Pennsylvania lawsuit or weigh in with their points. But the volume and the venom is like, oh, the democracy is being destroyed by these assertions that the election was not fair and clean. We're trying to preserve a constitutional republic by sticking up for clean elections. Man, do they protest too much.
This is what I get back to. And again, I think it's important on the consistency check test to be able to say, if you think this election was legitimate and fair and free and there weren't shenanigans, mm-hmm. and all the millions and millions of mail-in ballots and absentee ballots and pallets of, Dominion, if you think that was all fair, you have a right to believe that
way. Of course.
I'm not going to shut somebody down who feels that way. The point is they're not letting any pushback even be allowed to be aired. It's totalitarianism. It's what a dictatorship does. And it's what the Democrats want. That's why I believe we need to push back with all of our might I'm so proud of Texas. A buddy of mine in Texas, after the Ken Paxton suit was announced, said, remember the Alamo. Now, you know, things didn't end so well. But nonetheless, it's the fight. It's standing up for what you believe in, and it's trying to push back in a major way. And I'm just excited about what could happen. And again, I'm back to Georgia. Something interesting also has been happening, Mark. I've been getting calls from young, and it's all been young men.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three or four of them in the last week. And they say, hi, Mike. You talk about Buford, the call, the mm-hmm. fictional caller that you do. Here's my caller. And it's happened about four times this week here in Georgia. Hi, Mike. I'm Kyle. I'm a lifelong, and he sounds about 25, 30 years old.
Right.
I'm a lifelong Republican, and I really support Trump. But, you know, I'm not – there's no point in voting for Kelly Loeffler or David Perdue.
Because the fix is in? Because they feel the fix is in?
You know what it is? They're fake callers. They're seminal callers.
It took a listener from
Los Angeles.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, they're all – and it dawned on me last night, and I got the tape out of all three or four of them. They all have the same talking point. Mike, I'm a lifelong Republican. I'm a big Trump supporter. But there's no point in voting for Loeffler or Perdue. And of course, then I blow up and my head explodes and I start yelling at him and I start hyperventilating. This listener emailed me last night from California, ironically. And I said, Mike,
you're being pranked.
I've heard these callers mm-hmm. on other shows. They are fake callers.
Yep.
It's what Rush always used to call
seminar callers. And they're trying to foment, not discord, but trying to foment. They're trying to
demoralization.
Exactly. To bog everybody down. And anyone attempting to do that is involved in treachery of the highest order. You want a cute thing you can do in return? Because if you get the next one of those, you go, yeah, Mike, I'm a lifelong Republican. Oh, hang on a sec.
Yeah, Mike, I'm a lifelong Republican, but I just don't see – I've been conservative all my life. I just don't see any point in voting for Perdue or Loeffler.
Say, oh, really? You've been a Republican and conservative all your life? Give me two or three of your most proudly held conservative beliefs.
That's exactly right.
Gotta go.
That's
exactly. Mm-hmm. And now that we see, incidentally, that Hunter Biden is apparently under investigation.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, I'm old enough to remember when they said that was a conspiracy theory.
Because you're 60 years old, and when they said that, you were 59.
In fact, Twitter censored people who said that.
That's right. Yes. We were ridiculed.
But Mark. That, you know what that's called? That's called interfering in an election.
That is exactly right. Look what happened in the New York Post. They were shut down in social media for having articles about this very thing. And I know we can bang our heads against a brick wall, and I know this is counterproductive, but this is my one day to do it. Hunter Biden is a crook. Eric Swalwell is in bed with the Chinese, literally and figuratively. And here comes the vaccine to the delight of millions. Wouldn't it have been nice if all this had rolled out in October? That's the point.
It's a rigged election. When Trump says it's a rigged election, that's a big part of what he means.
That's right.
Now, again, that won't be heard on YouTube. They'll censor me for saying that, and I don't care. 10:05, Mark Davis's interview with Ken Paxton today on 660 AM, The Answer. We're also going to talk to Corey Lewandowski. We're also going to – who else, Derek? You guys, a couple of great guests from Georgia. Two more days here fighting for Kelly Loeffler.
Very cool.
And David Perdue.
Thanks for all you
do, man. And I'm sure I'm going to play Mark's Devil Goes Down to Georgia about 20 times.
Okay.
Oh, and can I throw this in?
Yes.
Are you ready? December 10th, yeah. I think, is going to be the day we pass 10,000 children sponsored in our Angel Tree Prison Fellowship Ministry campaign, our Christmas campaign. Mark, do you know we're at 9,592 kids? $22 saves Christmas for the child of an American prisoner. A child is going to get a Bible and a Christmas gift and a message from mom or dad.
Awesome.
Please go to MikeOnline.com. Maybe your listeners will take us over this morning, Mark. MikeOnline.com, the Angel Tree banner at the top of the page. I can't believe it. I think we're going to get to 10,000 today, Mark.
We got your back. We're going to make it happen. We're going to make it happen for you.
I
like our chances, Mike. Thank you, man. Have a great day down in Georgia. We will be listening. Mike at 10 on 660 AM, The Answer. To take us out of our first hour, the first Noel. All right. So a few days back, I unveiled Trump went down to Georgia with great apologies to the late, great Charlie Daniels. And Mike put it on his text line so that if you text devil, as in devil went down to Georgia, if you text DEVIL to 1-800-655-MIKE, that's 1-800-655-6453, you just text DEVIL to that number, and whoop, instantly your own MP3 of Trump went down to Georgia magically appears on your phone like a gift under the tree. Alrighty, here's a little gift for you. How have you been hearing the Shelley Luther, Drew Springer ads? You think? Well, it's time to talk to Shelley and to talk to Drew. And State Rep Drew Springer joins us next. And we'll talk about some of the ads about him, some of the differences between him and Shelley, to the extent that there are any. And we'll plunge into that State Senate District 30 race, all of that next, and plenty more adventures to come on this Thursday show. Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Stick around. Nice to have you.